Talks, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Hurricane Milton is storming toward the Atlantic after causing death and destruction from Florida's west coast to east. More than 3 million homes and businesses have no power this morning after Milton made landfall as a dangerous Category 3 storm just south of Sarasota. Correspondent Christian Benavides is in Tampa.
Hurricane Milton came roaring ashore on Florida's west coast overnight, bringing with it life-threatening winds, heavy rains, and dangerous storm surge.
I hear a lot of wind outside.
Bradenton resident Angie Samaro and her family are riding out the storm at home, located outside of the evacuation zone.
We knew that we wanted to stay.
Closer to the Gulf Coast in Newport Richey, residents and their pets took shelter.
We take this stuff serious, and we live in a flood zone.
At least 20 tornadoes confirmed. CBS's Terry Hornstein witnessed the damage from one of them in Fort Pierce.
We saw an 18-wheeler that was knocked over on its side. The roof of a gas station was blown off as well, and the side of the road mingled up.
The dome over Tropicana Field, home to the Tampa Bay Rays, has been ripped to shreds. Milton's been downgraded to a Category 1. The concern now is that storm surge. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
There's still water getting pushed in on the northern side of the storm, water getting pushed against the coast. That's what we're going to be watching for. And then in addition to that, the winds continue through about noontime today.
Donald Trump took his campaign to President Biden's birthplace of Scranton.
Today I make Pennsylvania this promise. I will stop the energy price hikes. I will stop the plant closures immediately, and we will restart the plant.
His Democratic opponent will get some high-profile help in the battleground state today. KDKA's David Balaroto.
Former President Barack Obama will rally voters for Vice President Kamala Harris at the Fitzgerald Fieldhouse tonight at the University of Pittsburgh. It will be his first stump speech for the Democratic nominee since the party's convention.
Elon Musk set to roll out a Tesla robo-taxi today. Tech contributor Ian Schur.
Many car company executives say they're teams are working on something similar, and Google has gone the next step, releasing self-driving taxis as a test in California and some other states.
A tennis star is set to call it a career. CBS's Vicky Barker.
22-time Grand Slam champion Rafa Nadal has just announced he's retiring from tennis at the end of this season. The 38-year-old says he'll make his final appearance for Spain at next month's Davis Cup Finals in Malaga.
S&P futures down 10. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin wildlife officials are warning about a disease fatal to deer, commonly known as EHD. The Department of Natural Resources has confirmed cases in deer from Chippewa, Jackson, and Waukesha counties. EHD is spread by insects that bite. Humans can't get it. Anyone who sees a sick or dead deer is urged to contact the DNR. Wisconsin crews are standing by to help Florida recover from Hurricane Milton. Stuart J. Waddles reports.
Power crews from Cedarburg, Oconomowoc, and Hartford are preparing to assist with recovery efforts. We Energies is also sending a team of over 24 workers down to help restore power and mitigate the impact of the hurricane. To find out how you can help, visit civicmedia.us/help. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. It's the Bucks and the LA Lakers in a preseason matchup at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee. The Bucks' new shooting guard, Gary Trent Jr., says he's okay after suffering a hyperextended elbow against Detroit. How's it going?
We've been pretty good, being proactive about getting back on the floor. We had a good practice today, and our goal is to continue to keep building through the preseason.
College football, the Badgers have their final practice before flying to New Jersey to take on Rutgers. Wisconsin Wisconsin is 3-2, Rutgers 4-1. NFL, the Packers getting ready to play the Cardinals. The only player to miss practice, defensive tackle Devontae Wyatt with an ankle injury. Back at practice, wide receiver Romeo Dobbs. Matt LaFleur on having to suspend Dobbs last weekend.
You never want to get to that point. And that's why I think, you know, one thing that's so important for all of us involved is you got to communicate.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 73 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, low 50s tomorrow. Mid-70s. After that, we're going to cool down. 61 Saturday, showers, 53 by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I interview Olivia Troy, a former national security and disaster advisor in the Trump administration. She was there when Trump withheld FEMA funding because it was for a Democratic state.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Thursday morning, October 10th, 26 days until Election Day, and another beautiful day to have you up north from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, the Civic Media app on demand by podcast or through our social media video feeds. Thanks for starting your day off right here. I've got a question just geared to people watching the video version of our radio show on Facebook and YouTube. Where am I? Because it's clear we're not in our Lake Wissota studios. In fact, on the road, on grandpa duty. And so, again, we could expect a five-year-old or a two-year-old to come barging in here any moment. But if you're going, why is the Lake Wissota studio suddenly have like lace curtains and things like that? No, we're in a different space altogether. But again, nice to have you here. Here's what we've got coming up this morning. Another good, busy, hopefully productive use of your time over these next couple of hours. In our Women Win Wisconsin segment, one of the closest state Senate races being watched around Wisconsin is in the northern suburbs of Milwaukee. Because the new maps changed that area radically in terms of where the lines are. And there's a district that had been represented by, you know, one of the furthest right conservative Republicans in the state Senate, Dewey Strobel, who had a pretty safe district, a lot of rural territory well north of Milwaukee. Now it's got a lot of the suburbs. And as we know, the suburbs are changing. Suburban voters are no longer as reliably Republican as they used to be as they watch Donald Trump and the rest of the party melt into something they don't even recognize. And so as a result, you have somebody who's been, you know, raised in that district, born and raised in the district, Jody Habish-Sinikin. And Jody Habish-Sinikin is challenging Dewey Strobel, and she's going to be part of our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by Motherhood for Good. That's coming up in our second hour. Also in our second hour, we're going to talk to Tricia Zunker. Most folks know her as a former president of the Wausau School Board. She's also been an associate justice on the Ho-Chunk Supreme Court. And she's here to talk to us about Indigenous Peoples Day. That's coming up next Monday, the day that a lot of folks traditionally thought of as Columbus Day. And thankfully, we're moving in a more historically accurate direction in terms of recognizing the perseverance of our Indigenous neighbors, their contributions to culture, and celebrating all that they are today. And that includes a Central Wisconsin Indigenous Peoples Day powwow in Rothschild coming up this weekend that Tricia Zunker is going to tell us all about. We'll talk about some of the arguments made yesterday before the Wisconsin Supreme Court in the case of a partial veto by Governor Tony Evers that has the net effect of setting a certain school funding standard for the next 400 years. Can you do that? This is one of those that might just cross party lines in terms of talking about what do we really want the line item veto to mean and stand for. And we'll also talk about a pro-Trump commercial that gives us basically a new election season slogan. If you're getting your talking points from Uline, you lion. And we'll tell you all about that. Today's history lesson, Brittany Merlot's forecast, Luke Mathers, and of course, no show is complete without Craig Bach standing by in Waukesha. Mr. Bach, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How is lovely Kalamalivivav? I have a hard time pronouncing that city. Kalamam.
I still have to. I have to ask somebody at some point how Kalamazoo, you know, came to have its name. But it's here. It's vibrant. I've always called it basically, you know, it's a college town. Western Michigan University is based here, and so it's basically a larger Eau Claire. You know, in terms of how I think of it as I'm driving around. My son-in-law works for the Western Michigan University hockey team, Go Broncos, and they have their home opener this weekend, and so we're helping out with little grandma and grandpa duty as that's all going on. But things are nice. The drive yesterday was everything you would expect a drive to be when you have to drive through Chicago to get any place.
So how long is that drive? 8-9 hours for you?
It's just short of 8 hours. Yeah.
Oofers.
Yeah. Well, remember the other daughter is in Idaho, and that's 18 hours. So for us, this is like nothing to it. We'll zip in, we'll zip out. Nothing to it. So you do that, but we have three different apps, map apps, you know, on our phones. We've got Google Maps, there's Apple Maps, and then there's one called Waze. And it's funny that we each have those on our phones. And so between the two of us, we used like five different possible routes. we didn't ask for different routes. We're just like, what's the fastest route to Chicago right now? Mm-hmm. And we got five different routes, depending on their interpretation of the traffic and the construction that's going on. And I like Chicago. I was there for the Democratic convention. It's a nice, vibrant city, always nice to visit. And again, I'm a city kid. I grew up in the Twin Cities. I lived for 4 years in Milwaukee. I've lived in Madison. I love cities. But whenever I'm in the traffic, suddenly I'm like, so happy to be a country mouse, where, as I always say in Chippewa Falls, if you're in a traffic jam, you're behind a John Deere or a Buick. Yeah. Those are the only reasons for there to be a traffic jam up here. That's the folks that do this every day. That's just got to be crazy. Just crazy. Especially when I see in Chicago, the trains running back and forth just fine. Most of the time, I'm sure it's not always like that, but boy, if you could take public transportation, why wouldn't you? But those are just some thoughts on the drive.
Wouldn't it be nice if Wisconsin had a robust and healthy commuter rail / just...
Oh, a passenger rail, commuter rail system, you know, working in tandem to get people from here to there with so much less car congestion, so much fewer emissions. Imagine that. And imagine just how much fluff you have to have between your ears to say, no, I don't want that. I'm going to kill it. You know, maybe it was the bald spot on Scott Walker's, I'm sorry, the bump from a cabinet, you know, that caused it. But yeah. Again, it's put us so far behind in something that, as I've said, it is going to be built someday. There's no doubt. I mean, again, populations are going to grow. Our transportation needs are still going to be there.
And Robin Voss won't be in office forever.
And at some point, Robin Voss might not be in office, or, you know, might not be, you know, assembly speaker, depending on how the election results go this time around. So yeah, it was a really nice drive, and it's always good to see grandkids, you know, especially when they're at that age, you know, where it's like you hear grandpa, grandpa when you get out of the car. So that awesome. Is pretty nice. Not that the older ones, you know, are fine, but you know, the 18-year-old is now like, sup.
Hi. Hi. I remember the first time I called the house, then my nephew picked up the phone. He's like, hello. I'm like, ah. Who's that?
What is that strange sound coming out of your voice hole over there? Yeah. But still proud of them just the same. I was looking, you know, we often turn to sports at some point around this time of the hour. And you notice we had a ton of sports on Monday because it was a busy weekend. But Tuesday, Wednesday, and again today, it's really nothing. You're not missing much of, especially if you're not paying attention to the baseball playoffs. Although I liked your sports headline that I almost thought was real for half a second. What was that sports headline?
This just in, coming across the waves from New York City, interim coach for the Jets been named Aaron Rodgers.
And I had to at first go, you serious, Clark? Because I would have believed it. Yeah. I absolutely would have, that they would say, I forget now, the guy running the New York Jets, and he couldn't wait to get Aaron Rodgers signed. And so I wouldn't have doubted for a moment if he was like, here, have the keys to the car, you run the show. Wouldn't have surprised me a bit.
No, not at all. I mean, also, if I was a coach, I wouldn't want to work with him. Be like, you coached it, fine, you do it. You're ugh. He's just so ugh.
Again, so glad to be rid of the drama. Now we get to just be happy spectators. So no, the Jets still looking for, I think, a new head coach. The other sports note that I really am enjoying is what's happened with the Jesse Winker saga.
Yeah.
And I think it's appropriate that you've got your Roy Kent whistle t-shirt on, that we can refer to him as Jesse Winker the Wanker, because this guy who comes to Milwaukee for a season makes $8 million for that season, if I read right. And, he wasn't fully recovered from an injury, fine, but he completely underperformed and left. And now he's with the Mets, and now he's shooting his mouth off. He's trying to be a big shot, talking about hating Milwaukee. And I don't have the post right in front of me, but somebody noted that the Milwaukee economy is going to get such a resurgence out of spite, because I know one brewery, I think, started it, and then a restaurant, and others.
Broken Bat Milwaukee
are having $1.99 specials in honor of his batting average while he was with the Brewers. $1.99.
Yeah.
I love an economy built on spite. I think that's great. So anybody else that wants to put up a $1.99 or $199 special to honor Jesse Winker, you go for it, because sports spite is a great way to run a local economy for a little while.
I mean, honestly, you talk to other former Brewers and they're like, I loved my time there. It was great. They were wonderful people. It was a great city. You got to really just be a special kind of D-bag to say something like that. Like, just
now I wish he'd have gone to Arizona, to the D-backs. We could have had more fun with the D-bag reference. But, I'm sure New York is already eating it up. The Mets fans, they just think he can do no wrong on that. Okay, that's fine. But we're going to have a little fun with it, too. So that's, there you go. That's our very thorough sports report for you at 6:17 on this Thursday morning. Hey, a note that Civic Media will broadcast the Senate debate between Senator Tammy Baldwin and Republican Eric Hovde next week, Friday, the 18th. So tune in for pre-debate coverage from Civic Media, and then you can listen to the debate right here. It's being presented by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association Foundation. And a reminder, of course, that to get more information on voter registration and election information, head over to myvote.wi.gov. Let me be really serious for a moment in talking about what's in today's Up North News daily newsletter. This is World Mental Health Day, and we have had this discussion before as part of Suicide Prevention Month, but I don't think you can say enough that it is something that we should be able to talk about. Our mental health struggles and challenges. Sometimes people just need to open up. They need a shoulder to cry on or to lean on. And in the newsletter, there's a note about some VIPs in the sports world who have decided to be much more public about dealing with mental health issues. And a note that in Wisconsin, sadly, we have the second highest suicide rate in the Midwest. And so the newsletter also includes links to resources that are just a click away. And so, again, to learn much more about that, head over to our daily newsletter, sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com, and click subscribe in the banner on top of our homepage. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Thursday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations, here for you.
Sometimes people change. and not always for the better. Take Senator Tammy Baldwin. What happened? She's been in D.C. for 25 years. Extreme left-wing groups have showered her with campaign cash, and now she's siding with them. Baldwin supported puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin. That's extreme. And Baldwin supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters in Wisconsin to admit biological men who claim to identify as women, making survivors of domestic violence sleep in the same building as men. That's just cruel. Tammy Baldwin used to share our values, but a quarter century in Washington has made her just too extreme for Wisconsin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you're always looking for ways to position your operation to create opportunities and move on them faster. With Bank of America, you get access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2024 Bank of America N.A.
Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Club Up North, where your bouncer Greg Box stands by the velvet rope, prepared to let you in or not, depending on whether you can answer the tune or the question, who's playing this tune?
No,
here's
no,
Greg Box with a spoiler alert.
Who's playing this tune, man?
Man. Thelonious Monk is the answer. It's part of our history lesson coming up in 30 minutes. And a note, by the way, if you're watching the live video feed on Facebook or YouTube, just feel free to put something in the comment section, a question or a comment. We might put it up on screen and show it there and respond to it. And, of course, we have the phone number that you can call or text, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. There is a video podcast series that our parent company, Courier Newsroom, is putting together. Again, Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media. We're owned by Courier Newsroom. We love to work with Civic Media on this fine radio program. And Courier Newsroom has outlets in just about a dozen states now, including here in Wisconsin, but also has a national newsroom that's putting together podcasts, including a new video podcast series called Closing Strong. Tara McGowan and Simon Rosenberg are joined by Democratic strategists, elected officials, reporters, and advocates to talk about everything that's at stake in this election and why it is so important to be closing strong. Look for Closing Strong on the Courier YouTube page. On YouTube, search for Courier HQ to learn more of the details. Well, the Wisconsin Supreme Court heard an interesting case yesterday, one about one particular partial veto from Governor Tony Evers. So let's take a step back for a moment and talk about the partial veto and what it is. All right, we know that presidents and governors, you know, can veto bills in their entirety, and then the legislature or Congress can override that depending on the standard they set, two-thirds vote, three-fourths vote, whatever the case may be. But there are some states where governors have what's called a line item veto. It's just that the definition of line item is open to interpretation. You would think that the line item looks like this. You know, you take a red pen, you don't like what that part of the bill says, then you draw a line through it and say, I'm vetoing that part of it. You can try to override it if you want, but since I have the power of the line item veto, I'm using it to veto this particular line. But over time, governors of both parties have found creative ways to veto parts of bills, and then there needs to be a court fight to determine whether, you know, it's allowed under the constitutional authority of a governor to have a line item veto. And I'm sure people are saying, wait, I thought we addressed this already. And we have in a couple of cases. There was one that was called the Vanna White veto, where governors could strike individual letters out of words and create new words. And there was the Frankenstein veto, where governors would strike individual words to craft new sentences. And in both cases, there was a referendum saying, should we amend the Constitution and say governors can't do that? And the people in both cases said, yeah, that's probably a bit too much. Well, now this one deals with striking individual numbers. And so maybe when they did the Vanna White veto, they should have been specific about letters and numbers, but they weren't. And so here now is the story about the 400-year veto and whether it's something that can be supported or not. This is about a veto in terms of how much state revenue goes to K-12 public schools and how much revenue they can raise through the property tax. And the bill in question increased those limits for a short period, said that in 2023-24 and 2024-25, that the amount of revenue per student could be raised $325 a year. All right, you with me so far? $325 in 2023-24 and 2024-25. What the governor did was instead vetoed the first 20 and the hyphen. So now it says schools can revenue can be raised per student $325 a year, not for the next 2 years, but until the year 2425, which kind of reminds me of that 60s song in the year 2525, but they didn't anticipate a gubernatorial veto. So now in hindsight, they would have written in the year 2425, where we're still setting school funding standards based on vetoes that were made, you know, in 2023, 2024. Now, you have to understand that the governor in this case was saying, A, that, you know, I still have the ability to do that under line item veto powers, and B, this helps school districts moving forward, because now for every year in perpetuity, they'll know that student aid is going up at least $325 per student, because this particular legislature in the decade or so that Republicans have been running it has been notorious for slashing assistance to schools, or more appropriately, raising it, but below the rate of inflation. And so every year, schools are falling farther and farther behind. So the state Supreme Court heard arguments on whether this should stand or not. And even liberals like Justice Jill Karofsky said in oral arguments, it does feel like the sky's the limit. The stratosphere is the limit, she said. Perhaps today we are at a fork in the road. I think we're trying to think, should we today in 2024 start to look at this differently? And I'll just close by saying, again, I don't know that there's a particular right or wrong answer. It could be that if you ask the folks that first, you know, wrote this into law, they'd say, well, yeah, whatever a governor wants to strike creatively, it's up to the legislature to make it stick. Or that there should just be, it should just be lines, you know, in a budget bill. Whatever it is, we've had this fight, you know, a couple of different times already about interpretation. And maybe this particular court case is the one that's going to settle it, you know, once and for all. All right. A quick other note before we take a break and hear from Joe Zepecki here is about an ad that's put together. There's so many PACs that are out there, you know, running commercials. And we've told you before that one of them is a PAC that's run by the Ulines, who are, the, you know, this couple. They're billionaires with Wisconsin roots. They're in the Chicago area now. That's called Restoration PAC. And they are running a commercial that is for Trump, and it hits Kamala Harris on inflation. And it features a mom from the Philadelphia area who lost her son to gun violence. And so she was already rather teary talking about gun violence that took her son. In answering a different question, she talked about, well, times are a little bit rough here and, you know, prices are high. And that's the part that they creatively snipped and made it sound like she was crying about the economy. So just keep in mind when you see Restoration PAC funded by the Ulines, if you get your talking points from the Ulines, you may be lying. Joseph Pecky's next.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Commodity brokers are watching South America as they kick off their delayed planting season thanks to recent rains. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Wednesday morning. We'll talk about it next.
Whether you're in the market to buy or sell, count on Steffes Group for any and all of your equipment this harvest season. Thinking about retirement or a career change? Steffes Group can support your next steps with reliable auction services. Visit steffesgroup.com today to see a full list of upcoming auctions in your area or nationwide, or to contact your local representative. That's steffesgroup.com.
Brazil finally has moisture in the ground. Market advisor John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing says that means planting season can begin in earnest for our southern competitors.
Yeah, they're a couple weeks behind, but the bulk of their planting occurs, you know, here now within the next basically month. So if the weather forecasts improve, they'll continue to push the planters. It's an interesting, you know, here we want some moisture in the soil. Down there, they wait for the moisture before they push the planters forward. You know, we want things to dry out before producers start rolling in our area. So it's a different mentality just because of the extremeness of the weather and just how that country lays out in terms of its, you know, overall geography.
Market advisor John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing in West Bend. He says the comfortable amount of moisture in South America is going to put pressure on U.S. trade. Don't go anywhere. We'll take a look at our morning commodity markets next.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
Commodity prices are seeing a pop to kick off a Wednesday. From Chicago, December corn is up a penny and three quarters at 422.5. November soybeans are up a nickel and three quarters at 1022 a bushel. Cash wheat is up a nickel and a quarter at $6 a bushel. And July 2025 new crop wheat is up a nickel at 643.5. On the close yesterday from Chicago, cheese prices were down. Barrel cheese down a nickel and a quarter at $1.88. And the 40-pound block cheese closing down 2 cents at $1.92 and three quarters. But today, Class 3 milk prices are moving higher. Class 3 milk goes to make cheese. The November contract is up 11 cents at $21.24 a hundredweight. And December Class 3 milk is up 13 cents at $20.78. That's your market update on a Wednesday morning. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 73 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, low 50s tomorrow. Mid-70s. After that, we're going to cool down. 61 Saturday, showers, 53 by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
Matt Nair on air.
She's the fabulous farm babe. She is Pam Yonke. One of the reports that you guys did from last week was about the cow photographers.
When you go to World Dairy Expo, it never ceases to amaze me. Hair dryers, goop for their hair, for their hooves, everything. When it's time for them to go potty, somebody walks around behind them with a bucket. Now that's pampering, if you ask me.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, a heads up about debt collection scams. Lisa Schiller from the Better Business Bureau will be here. Alexander Vindman in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
And welcome back at 6:34 with Joe Zepecki on this Thursday morning. Joe, how are you?
I'm tired, man. It's been a long week.
You've been on a bus tour. You know, the thing that sounds very barnstormy, there's something romantic about it as campaigns crisscross the country, and it's not quite that glamorous, is it?
It's not. It's a lot of hurry up and wait. It's a lot of logistics, and we have covered a lot of ground. Before we get to the what, I'll just tell you the where. I landed in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania at midnight on Saturday. We finally got to Wisconsin after crossing Pennsylvania and going through Michigan. We got to Wisconsin last night at about 8 o'clock. And we've got a day full of events today in Milwaukee, Madison, and La Crosse. So then I get to go home and sleep.
Well, before we get into the what, speaking of the where, that it's such a coincidence, Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin. It's almost as if 47 other states are looking at us going, can you tell us who's going to win this election? And you've got a bus full of people with a very strong opinion on that. Who's all on the bus? What's the theme here?
So this is an organization called National Security Leaders for America. It's a bipartisan group. There are Republicans and Democrats and independents. And these are folks who served at very senior levels in this country's national security apparatus. I would say the group of about 741, by my last count, who signed the letter endorsing Kamala Harris for president last month. I don't know about the overall membership, but of the 25 to 30 folks who have been on this bus tour, it's about half retired military. We're talking about 3-2-1-star generals, former ambassadors, people who have served all over the world with distinction and care deeply about this country and are frankly repelled by Donald Trump's dereliction of duty and the insult to the document that they swore an oath to preserve, protect, and defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic, which is, of course, our U.S. Constitution. And that's what they've been talking about in support of congressional candidates, U.S. Senate candidates, and of course, the presidential campaign, urging people to do everything they can to run through the tape, get out and vote, make sure your friends get out and vote, because as they put it, it's all on the line. America would be forever changed by a second term Donald Trump presidency, which would, of course, begin and end with Project 2025. And it's been really remarkable to hear their stories, to watch them interact with folks, and to hear the very powerful messages that they're delivering about how this is not just Democrats voting for Kamala Harris and excited about her. We have a former Republican member of Congress along with us, Christopher Shays, who is still a Republican to this day, but is very excited about Kamala Harris and is making that case compellingly to folks in important states.
Yeah, I was going to ask if there are names on there that listeners might recognize, not to take anything away from the service all these folks have done, but clearly they've all been in positions of trust and service and come from a very informed opinion on this.
Yeah, so there's one other former congressman on it, a single-term retired brigadier general in the U.S. Air Force, Bill Enyart, who represented Illinois in the United States Congress. Randy Manner is a major general somebody who may have seen on TV. We have a retired lieutenant general, that's a 3-star who served in the United States Marine Corps. And of course, ambassadors who we may not know their names, but we all understand that in every foreign capital around the globe, there are people representing America's interests and helping convey, you know, foreign policy that leads to a more stable world and is looking out for American interests. And one of the key messages that all of these folks have really been hammering is, on a week where we marked the one-year anniversary of the Hamas attack on Israel, where we see Iran launching missiles last week into Israel, where we see Vladimir Putin's aggression and threats to NATO, the world is not, it's not a simple place. It's not easy to navigate. And the last thing you want is a commander-in-chief of the most powerful nation and most powerful army or armed forces in the world who is irrational and, you know, responds to the last person he talks to and can be won over with flattery and pals around with folks like Lil' Kim Jong-un and Vladimir Putin. And it's one thing for me to say that. It's another thing for these folks who have worked at the highest levels of protecting our nation and its interests and conducting diplomacy on the world stage to say, this is a five-alarm fire. Donald Trump cannot be commander-in-chief. It would be a disaster for America and for the world.
Well, and I recall ambassadors and ambassador staff played a role in the impeachment trials, as we learned more about, you know, Trump trying to shake down Ukraine's leader, you know, well before the Russian invasion. But then you have that other story this week that, again, in any other time period would have been a massive story, that you have Donald Trump so cozy with Vladimir Putin that at a time when the pandemic was still in its early months and supplies were hard to get, he sent these basically testing machines over to Putin for his own personal use, which means, and there's no drama involved in this, Joe, people died in this country because they didn't have the equipment they needed because Donald Trump shipped some of it for Putin to use personally.
Yeah, it's a jaw dropper of a story. And I know a lot of folks on the Republican side who are apologists for Donald Trump these days are trying to gloss over it and, you know, obfuscate. It's a stunning, stunning indictment of the failures of Donald Trump, who we know, based on previous excellent reporting by Bob Woodward, one of the most venerated, well-sourced people who have ever done the job, that he knew that it wasn't the flu. Because he was telling Bob Woodward it on the phone. He released the tapes. And at the same time, publicly, he was telling the American people everything was fine, while he was telling people privately another thing entirely. He knew. And now we find out that when these tests could have been made available to Americans and saved lives, he was shipping them over to Russia? My God. I'm almost speechless. And you know I don't get that way very often. But it is a stunning dereliction of duty. And you just... you have to scratch your head and wonder how cooked all of our brains are, or that anyone could still be considering that to be okay, or that Donald Trump is national command authority of the most powerful armed forces in the world with access to the nuclear football 24/7 is anybody's idea of the right choice.
Right. And with no guardrails the next time around, because correct, a lot of the folks who are on that bus tour with you or know people who were Donald Trump's guardrails, they wouldn't be there in a second tour.
They wouldn't. Second term. I want to get to some of the Wisconsin stuff of the last week, but one story that, you know, Project 2025, we have talked about, it has been much discussed, but it is a 941-page document. And so very few people have gone through all of it. I have not read every page of it. And I learned something new this week, that contra to practice since at least 1947, when Harry Truman reorganized the national security apparatus, for the first time ever, what Project 2025 is proposing and would likely lead to is loyalty tests for senior leadership positions in the armed services. So if you want to get promoted from a 3-star to a 4-star, you have to come in and get interviewed to determine whether you are sufficiently loyal to Donald Trump. As Major General Randy Manner put it in an interview the other day, that is a one-way ticket to a personal army. The military prides itself on following legal, lawful orders from the chain of command. And without that, you know, with an environment where only those loyal to Donald Trump are advanced, that goes away. And it doesn't matter whether an unlawful order is issued or not. You would have incredible abuses of power. It is incredibly frightening to those who serve this country in uniform for, in most cases, decades to get to that level. They are warning about this. We should take it seriously. Project 2025 is a real threat in ways some of us haven't even considered yet.
And yet, the Republicans who should know better are strangely silent, looking at you, George W. Bush, Mitt Romney, and others. And others are just more than happy to cozy up. And that takes us to Eric Hovde, who, as we learned this week, was spreading some of the same BS about the FEMA response to Hurricane Helene. which, I mean, just that alone, again, should be borderline disqualifying. But in his remarks for the Milwaukee Press Club this week, he talked about the lead pipe situation. Might be, you know, the overblown, essentially. And he wants to do the same song and dance of, you know, hiking the retirement age for all young workers and slashing the budget to 2019 levels. I mean, Joe, on any one of those four areas, I think in many years we'd say, well, that was a gaffe, but there's so much to watch this year that we have to make sure to remind people of everything that Eric Hovde stands for.
He's so bad at this. It's astonishing that he tried to portray himself, I'd say not very effectively, as this businessman, you know, homegrown guy. It's like, no, buddy, you've been living in California in your mansion for years. And the stuff you said a dozen years ago that was so extreme and radical, like getting rid of Obamacare, being 100% against access to abortion care, even in cases of rape or incest. And now you pile on things like, this guy looks at the third rail of American politics, Social Security, and goes, yeah, we're going to grab that with both hands, squeeze tight, and say that we're going to impact benefits and retirement age. It's just astonishing. Medicare is as strong as it has been, thanks to the leadership of Joe Biden, the tie-breaking vote by Kamala Harris to cap seniors' drug costs at $2,000 per year starting January 1st. Medicare is lowering costs. It is costing the government less because of price-saving things like finally allowing the government to negotiate with Medicare. And Eric Hovde is out here talking this nonsense. What are we doing? It's one of the worst-run campaigns I've seen. By even a Republican in Wisconsin in recent political history.
Yeah. And yet, because of the ratings of outfits like the Cook Political Report and others, I mean, you have always been the very first to preach, you know, no complacency. You always run as if you're behind. And so despite all of these rakes that Hovde steps on, despite everything that is wrong with Donald Trump, there is just nobody who should be complacent about November 5th.
No, we got to run through the tape here. And, you know, it's all on the line. So if you haven't requested your ballot and you're planning to vote early, get that request in. If you're planning to vote on Election Day, make sure you know when you're going and what time and who's watching the kids. Because up and down the ticket, we have clear choices facing voters. It is all on the line. Tammy Baldwin's running a good race, but it is Wisconsin. All elections are close. But I'm confident if people get out there and vote, she will be just fine, and we won't have to deal with 6 years of Eric Hovde.
Well, and in part because that's because she actually does the work. And you talked about President Biden doing the work. He was in Milwaukee again this week, again accelerating the removal of these lead-based water service lines. And that's, by the way, not just Milwaukee. There are lead pipes in plenty of other communities around Wisconsin that, you know, could have been addressed much earlier were it not for Republicans in the legislature, you know, blocking these sorts of things. But, you know, Joe Biden didn't have to get on the plane and come out to Milwaukee. But again, he too is running through the tape in terms of let's keep getting things done.
Yeah. And I don't even know what to add to that, but it was good to see the president in Wisconsin again. It always is. And talk about, you know, running through the tape as Florida is in the impact zone as of last night. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, you know, clearly doing everything possible. I think it was 40 million meals, 20 million or 200 million liters of water on standby, thousands of federal personnel to help the people of Florida recover. This is a guy who's taken the job seriously and has not taken his foot off the gas. And all of our thoughts and prayers are, of course, with people as they recover from this devastating storm, including some of my family down there. The in-laws are down there. Everybody's okay, last we checked, but it's scary times.
No, it absolutely is, and only made worse by a changing climate here. The one thing I feel bad about is that with you busy on this bus tour, you probably have not been exposed to the economic boost that has been provided by Jesse Winker in declaring his hatred for Milwaukee, where he didn't really play for a year but got paid $8 million. There's a whole lot of people offering $1.99 specials now to make fun of his batting average while he was here.
Unbelievable. That is news to me, but I am old enough to remember buying a four-pack of beer for $1.99. That seems like a very long time ago now.
Well, again, if people want to go buy these things and take advantage of these specials out of a sense of spite toward a guy who would want to trash a city like Milwaukee, well, more power to them. Joe Zepecki, as always, thank you so much. Welcome home, and we'll talk again soon.
Sounds great. Thanks, man.
We will be back with more after this. You're up north.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Farmers in Wisconsin have always been ahead of the times, and it's no different in the mid-1800s. George Esterly was running a large wheat farm outside of Whitewater, but reaping his crop by hand was back-breaking work. Esterly invented a mechanical harvesting machine and used it in his own fields in 1844. He then won a Chicago Mechanics Gold Medal 4 years later. But was he the first in the country to build a harvesting machine? The answer is coming up. Esterly followed up his win by opening a factory in the Whitewater area, building the harvesting machines and eventually other farm equipment too. By the 1880s, 500 people worked there. So was Esterly the first in the country to build a new mechanical harvesting machine? Yes. This man's early farm invention lives on as a remarkable slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
I just wish sometimes we could just let Greg loose. Air jam to every one of these hits. What's that sound? But then maybe he doesn't. Would you rather be air rocking, or do you actually want to sing these songs to us?
I would much rather. Sorry, I'm all in the moment now.
I know.
I'd rather sing them. I'm not a fan of lip syncing. I mean, you want to lip sync, do your thing, Jelly Bean. That's your life. But I would rather have. I would rather want to have the voice to do it. But if I tried to do it, you'd be like, "How about you just take on the background vocal portions and yes. just." You can kick, you can flip, you can run around and be fun, but we'll just you don't even have to turn his mic on if you don't want to. That's fine. It's fine.
David Lee Roth today is 70 years old. Native of Bloomington, Indiana, has a big milestone birthday today, as does Tanya Tucker, 66 years old today, born in Seminole, Texas. Brett Favre is 55 years old today. Bradley Whitford is 65 today. And you remember Bradley from the West Wing, I assume.
I met him.
You met Bradley Whitford?
Yeah, when I worked on the Obama election, he was doing a bunch of surrogate work in Wisconsin, and they were like, "Hey, do you want to go meet Bradley Whitford?" I was like, and then there was a Greg-sized cloud of smoke as I was running to my car.
Very nice. Tony adds from up in Ashland, "You can't let that hurricane of awesome loose. It's not safe." I'm sure we're talking about your stage abilities.
There's so many hurricanes happening right now. I'm like, wait a minute, what? Do they name one hurricane awesome?
And Tony, like others, are saying, wait, Josh Lyman is that old? And yes, he is. And yes, was it yesterday? No, day before yesterday. Bradley Whitford noticed that Eric Hovde had used a GIF of him from West Wing. And tried to claim that, his campaign has momentum against Tammy Baldwin.
Yeah.
And so Bradley Whitford responded to him, to Eric Hovde, and
handily.
Said to him, "Nope, You're lying to the working people of Wisconsin. You got rich off daddy's connections in D.C. You own a bank in California. You're a multimillionaire who lives in O.C. When you're not conning voters into giving yourself another tax cut, you are a liar. Get my image off your feed. And Eric Hovde steps on another rake.
That's from that gif is from season 7, and if you want to see some fun times, watch season 3 where they're on the campaign trail and they go to the OC and things get feisty.
Yes, I know. I keep meaning to watch that thing from front to back, and in one of these days I definitely will. All right, back to today's history lesson. On this day in 1992, Garth Brooks had an album that debuted at number 1.
We were free to love anyone we choose. When this world's big enough for all different views.
The album was called The Chase. It debuted at number 1 on the album chart this day in 92 with tracks like We Shall Be Free and That Summer. Happy birthday to the United States Naval Academy. It opened with 50 students on this day in 1845 in Annapolis, Maryland. On this day in 1913, the Panama Canal essentially opened when President Woodrow Wilson, using a telegraph set up in Washington, triggered a ceremonial explosion of the final dike before water would pour into the Panama Canal. The number one song this day in 1970 was by Neil Diamond. I know, we all want to do it, don't we? Greg Lindrose, you know. Neil Diamond fans right now going, stop it. Don't step on Neil. That would be my mom, of course. I was raised on a very steady diet of Neil Diamond.
Oh, you were raised right then.
Now, I remember as a kid, I resented it so much, like, not Neil Diamond again. And now, of course, I know the words to every song and am happy to perform it on cue. On this day in 1973, the Vice President of the United States had to resign. Spiro Agnew resigned after being charged with federal income tax evasion. And he would later spend some time in the big house for that. Born this day in 1917, Thelonious Monk, the jazz composer, born in North Carolina. Standards like Round Midnight that we played earlier, Ruby My Dear, and Well You Needn't, just to name a few. Singer-songwriter John Prine was born this day in 1946, passed away back in 2020. Another group where you know the group, maybe not the singer, you've heard of the group Mr. Big. One of the singers is Eric Martin, and he's 64 years old today.
Hold on, little girl. Show me what he's done to you. Stand up, little girl. A broken heart can't be that bad.
The governor of California, Gavin Newsom, is 57 years old today. Dale Earnhardt Jr. reaches a milestone today, turning 50 years old. Singer Maya is 45 years old today. On this day in 1995, No Doubt released their breakthrough album, Tragic Kingdom, with hits that would catapult Gwen Stefani into stardom.
You and me, we used to be together.
Another one of the cuts on this album was Just a Girl. The album would go on to sell 10 million copies. Let's see, on the national day calendar today, it is National Inclusion Day. It is National Angel Food Cake Day. Quick question, does anybody eat angel food cake plain? I mean, doesn't it have to have like strawberries or something else on it?
It's a conduit to get the frosting and or filling into your
Thank
face.
Thank you. Yes, that is correct. All right, this is National Depression Screening Day. We talked about that earlier. This is National Handbag Day. This is World Homeless Day. And this one, there's a lot of day names, and we don't tend to do them like National, you know, Charlie Day or National Lisa Day or whatever. This one, I don't know what it is about Kevin, but Kevin needs a hug because today is National Hug a Kevin Day. So if you know a Kevin, creep him out and give him a hug and say, it's just because it's National Hug You Day.
Why not? Why not hug a Kevin and hug him without, you know,
without just, any explanation?
Yeah, and, you know, just be like, Oh, I didn't even get it.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Wisconsin native writer-director Steve Burrows, who makes our popcorn pick of the week, UP comedian Jessica Phillips, and Oswang director Barry Polterman.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Badger fans, Wisconsin men's basketball tips off the 24-25 season November 4th with new names and new conference opponents. Whether you're looking for season tickets, five-game packages, or single-game options, we've got something to fit your schedule. Now's the time to secure your seats for an exciting season of Badger men's basketball. For more information and to grab your tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.